Hi there, this is Tracy, and today I would like to talk to you about traveling with a narcissist. And it just occurred to me the other day as I was thinking about a trip that I had taken a few years back with my ex-husband. And I'm starting to analyze just things. When things pop into my head, I'm analyzing and thinking, what did that mean? And I'm not making up meanings. I'm trying to understand things. And I'm encouraging you to do this as well. As things come along that seemed normal before, if we take that extra time to deep down, dive in and think about it. And what I was thinking about was traveling with my ex-husband and his family. And we did a lot of traveling for a married family with my in-laws, and everything was generally on their dime for one thing. So then they had control, and we didn't have control of where we were going or where we were eating or who we could see or what we would do. Everything was controlled, and I was told by my husband that that's just the way that our family does it. You have to accept this if you're going to come on this vacation. Before I had met him, they had been to places like Cuba before people could go there. They'd been to the Galapagos and, you know, rented a private yacht and, like, slept with the turtles and all kinds of really cool things. And so they opened up my world to traveling and doing things that I had never had the opportunity to do. And I'm very grateful that the experiences that I had with them enriched my life and showed me a lot more of the world. But as I look back at that controlling kind of behavior of my mother-in-law in particular, she controlled what we wore, what we dressed in, and a lot of the times we were going down to South America. They had a flat in Buenos Aires, and so that was sort of our base point. We would go down there for at least 2 weeks at a time, and we'd stay there, then we'd go to Uruguay and go to the beach there, or we'd go to Brazil, or we'd go to Iguazu Falls, which we did the Brazilian line and the Argentinian line. So we had a lot of experience, we had a lot of fun, but everything was planned to the minute. The clothing we had to wear, when we were going, how we were getting there. And I'm not complaining about this. I'm just saying this is how it worked in their family. The mothership made all the plans and made all the decisions and already knew what she wanted to do and where she wanted to take us. So of course we went along. But it was in that control that there was always infighting. Infighting in the family. Infighting with my husband and his parents over them demanding that my son wear black shiny shoes and long pants in the middle of summer in Argentina, because that's the way rich people do it, and we set the example. But he was 9, and you know, he wasn't comfortable in the black shiny shoes, and so my husband tried to voice that opinion to his parents, and it wasn't pretty. There was fighting. We always went with my sister-in-law, and there was fighting, and she was made to feel, as she always is, like a scapegoat, like the unloved one, not the perfect child like my husband was. He was the golden child, and so she would always go into a deep depression, crawling up into a little ball, crying and stuff, and it wasn't a healthy place for me. I didn't realize how much anxiety I had until the first time I came back from that 2-week trip. I got really, really sick, and I think I've just never experienced. I didn't travel with my own family. I've never been on a plane with anyone in my family except for my child. But 24/7 having somebody there, it's kind of scary. It's really like the control. 3X and I have only been on 4 planes together, but what I noticed in the airport, and this goes back to the empathy and the sympathy and the I'm really with you kind of a thing, but we're walking through these airports and, you know, you're like rushing to your gate. He would be a half an escalator ahead of me and I'm dragging my bag, he's dragging his bag, but like no accountability to look back and like wait for me. Somebody cut me off. So it was all about him. It was all about control. It was all like he was this independent person and maybe walking up farther ahead of me in case someone in the airport, one of his other girlfriends, saw him. It was really weird behavior to me. I've been at airports with plenty of people, plenty of friends, and you don't like abandon them. You don't just like say, oh, I'm over here, you're over there. Are you together or are you not? So there's a control when you're traveling with a narc, and there's always, whenever you're traveling with anyone, any kind of group, there's compromise. There's, you know, this is what we have in mind. You're going to cook dinner this night. We're going to do it this night. We'll all come together and make a plan. But I think because narcissists are so self-centered and so controlling that they have to control every single thing about a travel experience. And I don't think that, I'd like to hear if any of you have had this experience as well, because I could have just had like the most fucked up, you know, in-law family, but I'm pretty sure that all of the symptoms of being a narcissist, such as, you know, no empathy that I was struggling a little bit farther behind, no accountability to anything, and lots and lots of control. So I think because of that, it made traveling hard. I remember one time I went to Disney with my son and his dad, and my son was like 5, and so we wanted to get into the park. This was like a dream come true, you know, 5-year-old, he'd still be in a little stroller thing, and we wanted to get in the park, but my controlling husband couldn't go into the park until he pooped. I know that's such a stupid thing, and I'm saying this like it's, but that was control. That was like, when my needs are met, then we can do that. When I have everything I need, then I can open up and come in and enjoy Disney with my son. So that's just a little weird thing. I don't know why I threw that in there. It just popped in there, but it is about control. And if you like these videos, I would really appreciate your support. I have a Patreon page, so it's Patreon Tracy A. Malone. And for those of you who are looking to see how you can help, definitely listen to the ad at the beginning of the thing. Just to give you an idea of what that means to us is with about 120,000 views, I got $100. So it's not like we are getting like oobs and oobs of money for you to watch that commercial. And so if you want to, that's a really good way. And I am available for private coaching. You can find a link down below. If you are stuck, if you are just confused and you just don't know where to go, I can be your ears. I can be that person that validates everything that you're feeling, explains some of the things that are happening to you. So if you are interested in that, I would really love to talk to you. You can find that information on my website. I'll put the link below, narcissistabusesupport.com. And I look forward to having many more videos with you guys. If you can't afford to support me even with a dollar, that's totally cool too. I get it. I've been there. I'm there. But if there's anyone out there that wants to buy me a cup of coffee, throw it onto Patreon. I'd appreciate it. So have a great day. This is Tracy, and let's have a narcissist-free day. Thank you.